Certainly a privilege to worship together this morning. I've been challenged and encouraged and just tremendously enjoyed the devotion, the singing, Sunday school. Excuse me. It'll clear up in a little bit. And I'm blessed by this devotion again about how that David, he looked up and he saw the greatness of God's creation. And then he was reminded of God's law and order and statutes and the fear of the Lord and the judgments and all of this. And then it was one other thing. You see where his thoughts went next? Moreover, by them your servants warned. His thoughts went inward to himself. And I think David probably, just like you and I did, when we see God's greatness and we see all of his majesty and the way he operates, and then we look at ourselves and we just kind of shrink, don't we? This is how your servants warned. And that verse 12, I never really understood it. Who can understand his errors? Now, who's he talking about? I think David was talking about himself, and each one of us apply it to ourselves. Who can understand our own errors? And I looked it up in Strong's, and it says our moral failures, I believe, is what it comes from. Who can understand that? When we look up and we see God and his greatness and his judgments and his righteousness and all the statutes, we don't understand, do we? Why are we like that? And he's saying, keep me back from secret sins. Don't let them have dominion over me. I want to live for you, God. All that by starting to look up. So I just like to encourage you again, keep looking up. Sarah just read something to me recently about all the beauty that God just puts above us all the time. Anytime you look up in the sky, it's almost always beautiful, and you can look up 10 minutes later and the design has already changed. You don't have to pay anything to see it. But so many times we get so earthbound, we get so focused down here, and we miss all that beauty, and we look up and our thoughts go to God and his greatness and then back to us and how small we are and how much we need him, and we say, Lord, help me. I love that. Well, we are happy to be with y'all again. I know it's been a long time since we were here. Seems like it anyway, on a Sunday morning anyway. And, you know, God is really good. And I think if we look back, it does me good to look back in history a little bit. And we don't even have to go far until we just see the way God led us in the last number of years. And it's just a blessing to know that if we walk with God, we make decisions today, God will take care of us. I can't help but remember the little group here, what, 6 years ago? And things maybe even looked just a little bit hopeless. Didn't know which way, what would happen. But you just kept walking with God, and day by day, he took care of you, didn't he? We were never destitute. Desolate, God was always here with us, and he led you to this place, and God has a plan for you. So I just say, keep on and keep looking up every morning. That's why we need to refocus every day and get our eyes on God and his goodness and the work of Christ so we can go on with life and he'll lead us. Well, you can turn with me. I want to start with a verse in John 3:36. I've titled the message this morning, How Shall I Follow Christ? How shall I follow Christ? And you know, right along with our Sunday school lesson, in the days of the early church, they preached the way. You can find that phrase, I don't know how many times, in the book of Acts. Paul was even on the road to Damascus to find any that were of the way. You know what the way was? It was the ones that were saying Jesus rose from the dead. He wasn't dead. He is the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And he is not dead, he's living. And this is the way. This is the way to have peace with God. And I have just been encouraged in the recent, back to our Sunday school lesson about witnessing. And I'll just drop this here yet about that when we witness, I think we need to be careful to take attention off of ourselves. Our witnessing is a lot more than, oh, we and we and we. Get those thoughts out. We're about the way. It's about Jesus Christ. How do we find forgiveness of sins? How do we have our sins forgiven and guilt taken care of and peace with God? It's through Jesus. And then we pick up the Bible, God's word, it's precious, and we try to live it. But our witnessing, if we have to go and start at the foundation, it's about Jesus, the way. He's living, and he's the one that... You try it sometime, just talk to somebody you meet and preach Christ to them. Well, how shall I follow him? Jesus talked to Matthew and saw him behind his desk, and he said, follow me. He saw Andrew and Simon fishing. Come follow me. And others, he called and he said, follow me. And he told us all, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Well, I like to make this personal. How shall I follow Christ? And I told you to turn to John 3:36. I also want to tell you that to follow Christ is a conscious decision. And I want to bring it out in this verse, that it's a conscious decision to get out from under God's wrath. Follow Christ. See, we were condemned. We were guilty. We had our sins on ourselves. And to follow Christ, we can get out from under God's wrath. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will stay on him. That's what abideth means. Will stay on him. So when we follow Christ, we can get out from under the wrath of God. We either follow Christ or we don't. I only want to remind you that in this message, that just to come to this church and just to do what it takes to be a member and just to fit into some culture, just to do some certain right things, is not following Christ. But in following Christ, it makes all the difference in all the things we do. But to follow Christ, we consciously give ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. So many people today have the talk and no walk. And I took a walk this morning, and I was going down the road and I noticed the ditch. And then I looked over on the other side and noticed the other ditch. And I thought, isn't that like life? There's ditches on both sides of the road. And we want to stay in the middle of the road. Jesus wants us to follow him. And it's so much more than just doing and not doing. And that's why we have to get to the basis and start with the way, with Christ in our hearts. And let it be not only our talk, but our walk. And not only try to walk it, but then also have the talk. But our old carnal nature tries so hard to please itself, doesn't it? When we follow Christ, it is contrary to our human nature. You know, our human nature, carnal nature, human nature tries to avoid pain. We don't want difficult things. We want fun. Our old carnal nature wants to give evil for evil, doesn't it? Our carnal nature thinks of immediate pleasure, but not of the consequences. But Christ came to change us from the inside out, from the way we were born. We were born thinking about one person. And we try so hard to teach our children to start to think out and consider others and the needs of others. We never get the job completely finished with our children until they're grown. And it takes a work of God in our hearts, and probably us parents figure it out that we haven't completely learned it. But we keep learning it all of our life. But I believe this is the center of the work of Christ, is to change us from following ourself and doing what we want to being a follower of Jesus, doing what he wants. Well, how can we follow Christ? Hebrews 12, 1 through 4. I want to read these verses. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, or he thought little of the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Number one, Jesus must be our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We must understand. And I think it takes a while, especially as children grow up in godly homes and they come to the point where they realize that, you know, things aren't right. And we realize that, you know, I want to go to heaven. And so children give their hearts to Jesus because I want to go to heaven. And as we grow, we begin to realize, well, it's more than just changing and not doing and doing, but really having Jesus for an example. We follow him. We give him our heart. We live for him. We model after him. We read his words. And we'll talk about it later, how we're going to become disciples of his. We pattern our life after his. Looking unto Jesus, looking, that's not just a haphazard glance. Intently, earnestly beholding him, patterning ourselves after him. The one that is the beginner of our faith, the author, the finisher of our faith. Our faith is in him. Our faith is not in our works. It's not in that we're finally good enough or one day we'll accomplish something good enough that God will say, okay, I'll take you in as my child. No, it's through Christ, the finished work on Calvary. And then we pattern our life. He is our example. So we look to him. Young people, we look to Jesus. Not to the rich man that has all the toys. Not to the people who dress ungodly and worldly and pattern our life after theirs. Not the sports-crazed world, or not the popular preacher, but we follow Jesus. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the way you follow your ministry here. And every person you know, you follow them as they follow Christ. And if I ever lead you astray, don't follow me. Follow Christ. He is our perfect example. And we must have an understanding of that concept of following him, the need to follow him. And if we don't follow him, if he's somehow in the trunk of our car, so to speak, in the back of our life, and we come to church and we take communion twice a year and we just glide along and it really doesn't make a difference in our life, we don't know what Christianity really is. But we need to have that understanding and that commitment. Yes, I will follow him. Number two, we need to follow him with effort and deep desire. Follow him with effort and deep desire. Jesus, John said in 1 John 2:6, he said, John told us that we should walk like Jesus walked. Walk like Jesus walked. You know, John, when he wrote the book of 1 John, he was probably about 95 years old. The last eyewitness of Jesus of the disciples. Others had been long gone. Maybe he did think he was going to live forever. You remember that little story? When the other disciples thought that Jesus said he was going to live forever, whatever. Anyway, he was an old man with a passion. He saw false teaching coming in, and it just bothered him so bad. And he was still teaching Jesus, said, and you must walk like he walked. You ever try walking like somebody else? You know, it's interesting, just quite a number of people just walk a little different. I knew a man from West Virginia, and I don't know if it's because of the steep hills, but he had a certain gait with his walk. And you know, especially as children, it was kind of fun to see if we could walk like that. I never accomplished it, but I want to tell you, when we walk with Christ, it must be with a conscious effort and a deep desire. I want to walk like Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the walk of putting one foot in the other, but it includes that too. But our life, like Jesus, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. To be like him. The mind of Christ runs completely opposite of our carnal mind. And I want to say this is right at the hub of what Christianity really is. You can lay aside all your concepts of what's Christian and what isn't Christian. But unless you start, and I think it's the process of the new birth where you're turned, and we come born like this, which means that I'm looking in a mirror and I see myself, I'm thinking of myself. And when Jesus works in our heart, he turns us until we look out and we see others. We had a beautiful little illustration of that in Bible school this week. Paul was superintendent, and he brought a mirror and a clear, like a piece of glass, and he had two little boys come up, and he had the one of them to hold the mirror right in front of him. You couldn't even see the little boy because the mirror was in front of him. The other one had the clear glass, and he was just looking out at everybody, and he picked the right two little boys. And the one behind the glass was just smiling big, looking at everybody. And he asked the one with the mirror, "What do you see?" "Me?" He said, asked the other one, "What do you see?" "Lots of people." And when Christ comes into our heart, he changes us. We're not focused on ourselves, but we turn and we start to look out and we see lots of people. We see the... And Paul asked him, said, "Yeah, those people have lots of needs out there, don't they?" And he just shook his head, "Yes." And oh, we all have needs. We see the need in our heart. We see the need in others. We start thinking about others. We're not like that little baby. That little baby, I know she slept all night, but most times when they're, you know, when an infant is born, they don't wake up and think, "Oh, Mom, bless her heart, she's had so many struggles, I'm going to be quiet and let her catch up on a little sleep." They don't think that, do they? They have a pain, and all they do is start crying and yelling. And as we grow and mature and we come to Christ and we learn to think of others, we also learn where to go for the pain, how to get help from the pain, and how we can reach out and be more interested. And I want to tell you, that is the hub. One of the acid tests of knowing Christ. Do we follow him? Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus walked this earth. He got tired. He finally went away. He wanted to go to the mountains and get away. And guess what? He got there and there were 5,000 people need to be fed. He was probably as tired as we were yesterday after driving all day. Probably more than that. But he had time to reach out for others. So it's daily, it's hourly, conscious of the needs. Takes constant effort and desire to walk and think like Jesus. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves when that test comes and we want to shut the door, go to our room and be done. Remember, What would Jesus do? And I believe without that deep desire in our heart, we'll never think and act like Jesus did. All right, number one was, he's our example. Number two, with effort and deep desire, how shall I follow Christ? Number three is as a disciple with cross-bearing. As a disciple, our Bible school teacher is Seth Bauman, and he asked us, what's a disciple? And he said, if you don't know, your ministry here has a lot of work to do. Something like that. You know what a disciple is? A student. Student. Follower. One who imitates. And I think they were probably more aware of these words back in Jesus' day when a great teacher would have a class. Gamaliel would have a class, and Paul talked about it years later how he sat there. And these people would go out, and they were learning from Gamaliel. They were following his teachings. They were imbibing what he was giving to them, and they went out with it. That's us. Jesus is our master. We sit at his feet. We're his students. We never get out of class, do we? We never graduate. So I got it now. Sometimes we maybe feel a little bit like, you know, finally, and then what happens? We get a test. We're students. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Let him be a student. Let him study. Let him follow. Let him walk. Matthew 10:36-38, I think I'm going to turn to that. Matthew 10:36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So in other words, if we just fit in the groove, I don't care if we're even a member of the Pilgrim Mennonite Conference, but if we just fit in the groove and somehow Jesus is relegated to the back table, really doesn't make much difference in my life. I've learned how to just fit in a social club and get here and do certain things. In other words, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When you give your life to Christ, when you determine to be a student, follower of the Lord Jesus, when you make that commitment, when you determine to walk like he walked, that's when you'll find life. That's when life becomes fulfilling. That's when life becomes worth living. So friends, love him more than family. Give up that desire to be great or rich or well thought of. Give up that desire for pride and show and where people look at me and they think of me and whatever I've accomplished and whatever I'm wearing and all those things. Give up our rights. Give up our rights. Do we deserve everybody to think well of us? Jesus said, whoa, when they do. Does it matter if somebody criticizes us? Does it matter if somebody doesn't really like us? Can't we keep walking that walk with Christ, keep on being that student of the Word? Or do we need to get blown away when somebody doesn't think right of us? We even give up some of the things that are right to follow Him. To follow Him somewhere else. We give up things that are right to follow Him somewhere else where He calls us. But we purposefully follow Him. John 12:24. Familiar passage. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him what? Follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Whose honor do we want? Why is it that sometimes it is the rich, the wealthy, the famous, the sports people, the new kind of clothes? Why is it that we hanker after all that? What kind of honor will that bring? It's gone so soon, and those men that were famous and rich and the sports figures back when I was a young man, I can hardly even call their names anymore. They're gone. But when we follow Christ, God will honor us. One day we can be with Him in heaven, serving Him there forever, singing in the choir, praising Him through all eternity. Why would we bring our eyes down and follow after such lowly things? Number four, how can I follow Him? We must be willing to suffer for Him. If we love Him enough to live for Him, we should love Him enough to die for Him. We sing that song, "I'll live for Him who died for me." I think Brother Aaron used to change it around and sing a verse of, "I'll die for Him who lives for me. How happy then my life will be." We should love Him enough to die for Him. We must be willing to suffer. You know, we in America, we have been raised with such ease and comforts. I don't know how well I would do. It almost scares me to think. I don't know if you get Plain News, you might have seen it. Just, I think it was this past week, about over in the, call it the hinterland of Antioch, which is on farther from shore, inland farther. Antioch, where the people were first called Christians. The Christians are being persecuted, and I forget how many thousands have been driven from their homes and families separated over in Syria. Hard times. People that are over in Bangladesh with refugees, you can hear stories of young ladies with 2-3 children and a husband killed, no family in the refugee camp. I can't imagine such things. Are we willing to suffer for the name of Christ? Do you love Him that much? Do I love Him that much? Do we have a willingness? Our old flesh wants the easy road and no pain. But I want to tell you, there is pain in this life. And I think there's a good principle for us to remember as we're following Christ. Because there have been so many people got angry at God because God didn't just butter their bread and put jelly on it too, so to speak. There is pain in this life. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Jesus said in Matthew, "You shall be hated of all men." Jesus told His disciples in John 16:33, He said, "But in this life you shall have persecution." Tribulation. You will have tribulation. Do you think there's any way that you could go through life with everything so neat in your favor that you'd have no trouble? Have you ever watched the people that got angry at God and turned away from Him and went their own way? Did they get away from trouble? No, I wouldn't trade them today at all for their troubles. I'd much rather. This is life. We're living in life, and there are hard things here. And you need to think back. It's because of the sin of man and the journey that man's gone away from God. And the whole ministry of Jesus is reconciliation. It's a forgiveness. It's sins forgiven and walking with God. This is what salvation is about. Modern Christianity has changed it around to where it's almost like joining a country club. You think about it, well, it's going to cost me this, but then I get this. And if I do this, then I can, you know, have rights to hear. And finally, people think, well, if I give my heart to Jesus, well, it's good enough, it's better enough for me. I think I'll do it. I want to tell you, salvation is about sins forgiven, the sin question answered, and you're still going to have hard things to deal with in life. But praise God, it's for life. It's not for eternity. And I would much rather face the hard things of life with Jesus and with brothers and sisters who love the Lord, with the hope of eternity ahead one day. We'll lay it all down. Troubles of life over. And be forever with God. But we need to be willing to suffer for Him. And number five, how should we follow Him? With His love evident in our life. God's love. Let's all stand together for just a minute. We're getting a little bit sleepy. Let's stand. Number five is with His love evident in our life. Is it evident when you go to work that you love the Lord? Or do we go and there's so many things, like so many problems, and our face is about this long? Or we go to Walmart, we go to the grocery store, and there's so many problems. And or can there be a smile on our face? Do we have the joy of the Lord? Is it evident? What about our attitude? Do we believe in Murphy's Law? Do we act like it? You know what that is? We say everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. Is it evident in our life? Is there joy? Is there purpose? Are we believing in the goodwill of our brethren and that we love each other? It should be evident as a congregation. I thought about speaking on relationships, but it should be evident that you love each other. Why wouldn't you love each other? Jesus said, "This is the way that all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." It should be evident in our life that we're followers of Jesus. Okay, you may be seated. Number six. And I only have seven. We should be determined to be obedient to the end. I want to tell you, the prize isn't at the beginning. It's not at the middle. Last year, I told the people, the children at Dublin, that if they read their Bible and gave different age groups, different amount, there'd be a prize at the end. And this year I told Piedmont that, and had a lot of them to sign up, and I'm anxious to see how many finish. There was a lot of them told me, yes, I'm going to do it. And the older ones are going to read the whole Bible through, and part of it is the New Testament, and some just, the young ones, just the Gospels, but I'm going to do it. I'm so anxious to see. I'm planning to give them a little prize if they do it, but you know what? If they give out halfway, they don't get it. Revelation 2:26, and to all the churches, to him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. We must be determined to be obedient to the end. I thought of Paul, 2 Timothy 4, there at the end of life. He said, I've run my race. I've finished my course. Henceforth, you think Paul was excited about being held in prison and knowing that one day before long he would be thrown in the arena? I think his flesh cringed about that, but he was determined to be obedient to the end. I thought about John the Baptist there in the prison, and when he found out what was going to happen, I think he cringed at that. And there have been many, many up through the years, through the Reformation. I remind you, it wasn't easy for these people. It takes determination. And I think we need to determine in our heart, we're going to live for God. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to turn away from the precepts of God's Word. I'm not going to take the easy believism where it's just a head knowledge, basically, and be obedient, determined to be obedient to the end. And number seven, how can I follow Christ? We need to be looking beyond the present. Like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, we can be thinking more about the joy of eternity with our Lord. I think, again, just like we don't look up as often as I should, neither do I think about eternity with him as often as I should. And I believe the more we look up and just even look up and see the glory in the heavens. You know that psalm, I'll just make this one comment yet. in your Bible in Psalm 121 that's read for devotion this morning. After verse 1, you should put a question mark at the end of it. That's where the Spanish has a question mark in most of your other versions. Well, it was a question. Lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And he says, from whence cometh my help? And then the answer is the next verse. My help comes from the Lord. So when we look up, then we see the greatness of our God, and then our thoughts can go right on from then, like in our other devotion, and then on into beyond the present, beyond time, when we're with our Master. If we only look to the here and now, you won't make it if you stay focused on the here and now. But we must look to Jesus. I emphasize again, he's our foundation. He is the central belief, central pillar in our belief system. When somebody asks you, well, what do you Mennonites believe? I beg you to start with the work of Jesus Christ and go from there. Don't start over, oh, we don't have TV and we don't, well, praise God, but give the pillar. This is what it's about. He's the head of the church. He's the rock we lean on. He's the supplier of grace. He's where you go when there's trouble. He's the healer of broken hearts, and he wants to be our Lord. We need to look to Jesus, how he loves us, how he forgave us, how he showed us the way, and how he's preparing a place for us. And we need to think about how he has our eternal good in focus. And that's why he allows pain sometimes. Just like you inflict pain on your children and they don't understand. A little 3-year-old and you spanked them good and they don't understand. They don't have the whole picture. But they come to realize one day that you had their eternal good in mind, and so you inflicted some pain on them. That's what God is. We need to look to Jesus, how he's here to help us in any problem and every problem we have. Look to Jesus, how he's taking us to a place that is free from the practice and the power and the presence of sin. Won't that be a wonderful place? Just a little mention was made about the earth, how beautiful it would be if there was, I forget how it was mentioned, about no sin, if Jesus reigned. All he has to do is just take the devil out. Won't that be a wonderful place? Well, I trust you're following him, not only as individuals, but as a congregation. God's plan, Jesus' plan, is that we're a part of a brotherhood, and that individually we live for him, and collectively we come and worship and do in a collective way beyond what we can do as individuals and encourage each other. And so may God bless you in the days, weeks, months, years ahead, that you are known for following Christ and being a witness of his. Let's